Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Welcome back. It's your home of the Habs and the NHL trade deadline. Right around the corner, getting closer, March 2nd. Along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, David Trentadue helping us out. Mitch Melnick with you until 7. Noel Butler, full hour of Soccer Talk at 7. Gord Downie and the boys at the Bell Center this Friday night. Friday night at the Bell Center. A Friday night, the tragically hip. This is the night that Rod Francis goes absolutely bonkers. This is like you've seen Rod in public on occasion, very, very occasionally. He's a very conservative guy. You know, he's a member of the Conservative Party. He's a very conservative guy in public. He's going to absolutely go nuts on Friday night.
You will hear me. I guarantee you, I don't care where you're sitting, you will hear me on Friday.
At the end of it all, Jimmy Howard played a terrific game of hockey last night, and he didn't make the one save that Price made. And that's why that position stinks, but that's why I would have Carey Price in my MVP voting.
Ray Ferraro with us, like Pierre, every Tuesday. Ray's on a little after 4.
Whether they think this is ahead of their timeline or not, they're one of the very best teams in the East. There's nobody in the East that Montreal should say, those guys are better than us. And so when those cards are in your favor like that, you have to make the move that maybe you wouldn't make in another season.
All right, it's time to bring in Mr. Pierre LeBrun from ESPN.com, TSN Hockey Insider. How are you?
Bonjour, bonjour.
Yes, sir. Well.
Shaking it up there just a bit.
Yeah, you completely threw me. I saw Dutchie kind of threw you for a loop.
Yeah, I was talking about Mike Fisher's contract talks, and he brought up Mrs. Fisher. I wasn't ready for that. And that wasn't in the pre-script when we
He went off the talking points, Dutchie. Yeah, after posing for himself on Twitter while he was on vacation. Was that?
Let's just say if I took my shirt off and put that on Twitter, I might lose 100,000 followers.
All right, so this is definitely, I know how you felt about the Canadiens since early on this season, but now, you know, you go into Detroit and you win and you play that kind of playoff style as they did in Boston last Sunday, as they did at Madison Square Garden a couple of weeks ago. All of a sudden you're going, this team appears to be playoff ready if they could just find a little bit more offense and maybe a little bit more depth on the blue line.
Even if they just had the power play clicking a little bit.
Right. Right,
it might make up a bit of the difference, because it is, you know, living by the one goal game every night is a tough living. On the other hand, what I love about the mental makeup of that team is that they go into a third period tied every time and feel like they have the mental edge over the other team, because they've been there so many times. And you could see it again last night. They were at home. You know, they felt comfortable being in the 0-0 game in the third period. And I think that's an important attribute to bring into the playoffs. Hey, I mean, as I said on my live chat with the ESPN readers today, they asked me who my cup final was again, and I said I might as well stick with my September pick, Chicago-Montreal. Why not? Why would I go against that now?
Why? Why does Chicago and St. Louis, why do they have to be on a collision course in the first round?
Because the Nashville Predators are having a lot of fun right now. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And how about this? You know, if you think for a second, I traded text with someone today. I said, here are some possible first-round matchups. You know, let's say Montreal slips. Could happen either way. Montreal-Boston, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right now it would be Montreal-Boston.
Yeah. You could potentially have the Islanders and the Rangers if Pittsburgh won the Metro, and they're all within 2 points of each other, right? So New York-New York. You could have the Ducks and the Kings in the first round, which, as I said,
that's where you would be, right?
I don't know. I'd have... and Chicago-St. Louis would be another one. I mean, there are some tantalizing matchups that are... and Pittsburgh-Washington is another one, potentially. But anyway, it's fun to think about. And yet, there's still a lot to play out here in terms of the jockeying for position.
Pierre, you've touched on this a lot, how active Marc Bergevin has been on the phone and talking.
Yeah, at least phoning, anyway, right.
And I'm curious, and I think Ray alluded to this, you heard that clip. Last year, you could say they're also ahead of schedule, and they found themselves in the mix. And he went out and surprised everyone, and he added Thomas Vanek, and it really sparked them until, you know, round two of the playoffs. Does he feel that he owes it to this group of players to, A, mostly keep them together because they got a good thing going, and B, add one other key element to try to put them in a position to go as deep as possible?
I think if he has his way, he'll add a piece both at the back and at the front, to be honest, both a forward and a defenseman. But, you know, obviously the stars have to align for that, and And as I shared with you guys last week, I think that, you know, they'd rather do a hockey deal where they have a guy that plays with them past July 1st, not just the rest of this year, but into next year. That's easier said than done. Those guys aren't as on the market right now as all the UFAs are. I wrote about this yesterday, but I find it very interesting that Montreal and Tampa are jockeying for first place, not just in the Atlantic, but the entire Eastern Conference. And I sense similar game plans from both Mark Bergevin and Steve Yzerman. And
same people?
Yeah, I mean, they look at their teams as having terrific years, but not ready to throw their teams into the, you know, Chicago, we're all in mentality. They want to do something before the deadline, but they're going to be careful in terms of what the price is going to be. And I think it's interesting to see that from both guys. It takes a lot of, I think, maturity as a young executive and vision and patience to be able to not get carried away in the moment. And I sense that from both organizations, both the Habs and the Lightning.
As tempting as it might be for Mark Bergevin, right? I mean, who knows when we 2 weeks from now, what the standings look like. They're going to be close to where they are right now, which is leading the East. They got three games in hand on Tampa. They're leading the East. But the big picture remains the focus.
Always, yeah. And again, don't confuse that with not wanting to do something. Like I said, he's been really active. He is making a ton of phone calls to try and get a perfect picture of what it's going to take when it's time to make a decision in crunch time. But not at the expense, again, of giving up any kind of high-end future asset. So it's a difficult balancing act. It's the same one that, like I said, Tampa's doing, and to some degree Detroit is doing. I mean, Ken Holland, who for years was willing to trade a second-round pick last year, you know, Detroit wants a top-four defenseman or at least a defenseman. But they're being careful with what they're willing to part with, because they're, you know, amazingly 24th year headed to the playoffs, trying to retool on the fly. I think it's a fascinating thing, and I think that in the cap world, Mitch, I think we're going to see more and more teams maybe take this stance that it's dangerous to perhaps always look at 1 year as this is it. I mean, I think that you have to keep the picks and the prospects coming all the time.
Three players up here that would have looked good in Montreal: David Perron, Cody Franson, and Mike Santarelli. The two trades that we've seen made that were significant in the last couple months. How do you think that affects the Canadiens' approach to this trade deadline?
Well, again, like I said, the Canadiens not terribly interested in Reynolds, right? So that kind of hurt them on the Franson Santarelli end of things. They'd rather make a deal for a guy with a deal passed this year. So, again, I don't know how into those deals they were. But no question that, like I said, if they can, adding a piece that, up front and on defense, they want to do that. I also think that, you know, as they explore and see what's out there, if they can't make a hockey deal, that I think they have to be realistic and see what the price is on the rental, because at the end of the day, it's still better than nothing if the price is right.
I'm curious, in light of the fact that Eller and Yemelin's names became public this late last week.
Mm-hmm. I believe from my colleague Bob McKenzie.
Yes, courtesy of Bob McKenzie. If you've heard anything along those lines with the emergence of Jacob De La Rose.
Yeah, boy, and you noticed last night the kind of confidence that Michel Therrien is having in that kid, right? It's really emerging. I haven't heard those names myself, but this, you know, obviously a lot of different people that Bob and I and Dregs talked to, and clearly if Bob said it, you better believe it's true. The reason why I think there's some added validity to it is that it kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm saying, is that the Habs are trying to make a hockey deal.
Right.
Well, if you're trying to make a hockey deal, you got to send hockey players back, right? So that's why it's interesting to me, but. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I would be careful on Emlyn, because I think that he is the one guy on that back end that will put a guy through the boards, and I think the Canadiens need that.
He skates a lot better. He's more involved in the game. At time, he could be a tough guy to play against.
Michel Therrien in Ottawa on Alexei Yemelin with Pierre LeBrun on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 Rod.
Pierre, usually when there are buyers, there are kind of two groups of buyers. The group of teams that are going to make a move just to try to get in the playoffs and maybe anything could happen, or maybe they just desperately need the revenue of those extra home dates. And mm-hmm. then another group of buyers that are doing it to win a Stanley Cup. Now, mm-hmm. we know which group the Canadians would fall into, but is that the same case this year, or is there maybe a third group that's always thinking long term that the Canadians might also kind of have a foot in that group as well?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would put, you know, Montreal, Tampa, and Detroit all in that group that, A, would like to have a long playoff run, and that's why they're trying to add a piece, but at the same time still have an eye towards not screwing up what's coming in the next few years. So that's what makes it pretty interesting. I think if Boston doesn't self-destruct here, they've got some real assets here. They've got those 2 second-rounders, remember, that they got in the Boychuk deal, and 2 second-rounders next year. And one of their 2 second-rounders is a Philly pick. So it's it should be a fairly decent second-rounder. In other words, it's almost like a low first. So I think the Bruins will act with one of those assets here between now and March 2nd, and they're looking at both a forward and a defenseman as well, and I think they're comfortable doing a rental. So I think you'll see them being pretty busy there.
Are we to read anything into the latest call-up of Malcolm Subban again while they're out west?
I was told by a Bruins front office source yesterday we are not trading Malcolm Subban. But that was certainly the feeling yesterday.
All right. And in closing with Pierre LeBrun, Anaheim certainly one of the teams that's all in to win the Stanley Cup. They have suffered a couple of significant injuries. How does that change, if it does, Bob Murray's approach at the deadline?
I was going to say, and I didn't finish answering the other question from Rod, but I think Nashville's all in. I mean, you've seen that deal from Sunday. So, I mean, they're all in. They're all about this year. Anaheim wants to go far this year. There's a pressure on that organization to get over the hump. And 4 to 6 weeks for Sammy Vatanen really hurts. 2 to 4 weeks for Matt Beleski. I will tell you right now what it's done is that Bob Murray is already being more aggressive with his phone calls in the last 24 hours in terms of between now and March 2nd, trying to add both a forward and a defenseman. And given the assets that he has, he has built this team so well the last few years, he's got a lot of assets to get it done.
So I'm just curious in letting you go here, Pierre, as you discuss things and do background information gathering with all of these people in the hockey world, do you plead with them to hold off as long as possible to make the deal on deadline day?
No, I don't care, because you see, if it's not as busy on deadline day as other years, I'm sure we'll have entertainment again on the set. So it's not about us.
That's a first. A high-profile media type in this country saying it's not about us.
I'm more than happy to be in the background, believe you me.
Although
apparently I got to share a body with Pierre McGuire on that day, so.
You got to share a body?
Oh, you didn't see the ads?
No.
Oh, Mitch, you have
what?
To. This
no,
is
what,
terrific.
What have I missed?
It's the Trade Center ad campaign, and it's the dueling Pierres. Share a body in this ad.
Yeah, I'd say there's about 20 pounds difference.
Yeah.
I'd say the other Pierre's head is a little bigger.
I would say I could fit 2 Pierre's head in my head.
I want to hear this discussion on the set. Talk to you on Thursday.
All right, thank you.
See
you guys.
Thank you.
Melnick in the afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.